Pastor Ray Bentley says good works won't get us to heaven.
Aren't Christians supposed to do good?
Yes!
It says that Jesus and the disciples went about doing good. But you don't do good works to get saved. You do good works showing that you already are saved. It's because we're saved that we can do good. And we're not saved by our own goodness. The righteousness that we have is Jesus Christ. It's given to us.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Have you noticed how the golden rule has almost become its own religion? People think that doing good for others will get them to heaven. Today, Pastor Ray sets the record straight. We'll see the importance of faith, active faith, faith that sets us in motion. We're studying the faith chapter today.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Faith sees what is coming. We're going to be telling the story of Noah, and I'm doing this in Hebrews 11. It's a great chapter about faith. It is called the Hall of Fame for faith, both men and women. So kind of we're going to be telling some of the stories, not all of them, but we're going to pick out certain ones and devote special attention to them, Noah definitely being one. Now, verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now, faith sees the future. We read, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What was it that Noah saw? The primary unseen thing he was warned about was, of course, that the earth's population was about to be judged and destroyed by a monster cataclysmic flood that would cover the whole earth, a judgment by water. And again, though there are many that do not, you know, say that they believe in the Bible, there is the evidence within the records around the earth that even on the highest mountains at one time were covered with water. The Bible says that there was a great flood, and that the background of that was God dealing with mankind. Noah saw this. The second thing that Noah saw was that something that had never been dreamed of, that God would deliver a man and his whole house, his whole family, through the great ark, which Noah himself would build. Now, inwardly, what was going on in this man, Noah? He's written to us as an example for future generations. Noah came to possess a visual certainty. God told him, spoke to him the word, "This is what I am about to do." And because Noah believed what God said, he saw what God was going to do. He was able to see it. Now, let me just say this. There are many people that know about the Bible. There are many people that read the Bible. They read it like, you know, any other book. They say it's nothing special. It's certainly not supernatural. It's filled with some good morals and parables, a little bit of mythology and supernatural mixed in, but that's the extent of it. They read it and they do not see. But when a man or a woman reads the Bible with faith, there is something that I don't even know how to describe. I don't know how to put it into words. The Holy Spirit has to communicate it to us. It's mysterious. And so Noah came to possess he could see this mountain of water that nobody had ever seen it. It had never happened before, this mountain of water coming down to cover the whole earth. And he could see this ark, this boat that God had told him to build, made of cypress wood. He saw it rise above the tempest and above the storm and save him and save his whole family. Noah showed in his emotional response to what God said, he was moved with godly fear, and he did something. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. So the next thing we see about Noah's faith is it brought out a holy obedience. In other words, when you, it's not just being emotional, but the emotion leads you to do something. And what you do is obey what God has said. God said, build an ark. So Noah began to build an ark. God gave his servant something to do, something practical, rather than just sitting there with nervous anxiety, wringing his hands, waiting for the inevitable. By the way, how long Noah was there building the ark, we don't know exactly, but it seems like it was approximately 120 years. That's a very long time. It says he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now read with me Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. You know what? If you want, do you want to know more information? You want more insight? You want to understand more of the times? You want to know more what God is doing? Then obey what he has shown you now. God gives further light when we obey what he has already shown us. The problem is that there are times where we become information rich and experience poor. We pack ourselves more knowledge, but we're not doing what we've already been shown, what has already been revealed. And so after a while, we get confused or we get lost. That's because you're supposed to do and obey the things that you do know and understand. Then God gives you further light, further understanding. As I mentioned here in your notes, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is really very practical. Just do what he has said. Now, can you imagine the abuse that Noah suffered for so long as he was building this ark? And let me just say this on a little sidelight. Because as we talk about, I do believe that there's going to be a lot of things happening. Guaranteed, there's going to be more natural disasters. Guaranteed, there's going to be more economic shakeups. Guaranteed, there's going to be more things happening within the environment. And here's what's interesting and what I find fascinating. I don't even, you know, for those who are believers, we have God's word that gives the meaning and the purpose behind what's happening. But let me step out of the pulpit for just a moment. And what I would say to some of my friends and others who are not Christian and they know nothing of the Bible or prophecy, I would say, well, are you listening to the secular prophets? Did you know that there are such things as secular prophets? There's God's prophets, the holy prophets, but there are secular prophets. And did you know that sometimes God speaks through the secular prophets? You say, wait, what are you talking about? Do you remember reading in the Gospels about a guy named Caiaphas who said, maybe it's expedient that one man die, that the nation might be spared? And the Gospels say this, he said, and prophesied, though he did not know. He was actually, and why does God do that? Because all authority has been given by God, and sometimes they don't even know that because of the authority that they have, which is a reflection of the authority in the kingdom of heaven, God uses them to speak. There's another instance, one time when Pharaoh rebuked Abraham, the father of faith, because Abraham had lied that Sarah was his sister because he was scared, you know, that whole thing. And so Pharaoh rebuked him. The Lord used Pharaoh to rebuke Abraham. It was another secular prophet, so to speak. Okay, well, secular prophets, what, pick an area. What are the secular prophets saying in the area of, let's say, the environment, of what's coming? Yes, they use the phrase global warming, but they also talk about all kinds of, you know, dangers and that it's serious, and if we don't do something and it's already almost too late. I mean, they're like jumping up and down, the secular prophets, about what's happening in the natural realm. Take another area. Let's take economics. Some of you are we're all affected by it and closely tied to it. What are the secular prophets saying about the future of the world economy? Well, you can go to one, you know, the Scottish, who are generally quite reserved in that part of the world, and they're talking about, man, we could be seeing a global collapse economically. There's all kinds of scenarios that are out there. But the secular prophets economically are saying we are in for some very, very unstable and shaky times. Okay, let's move to another area, geopolitically. Forget the Bible prophecies and how it's all going to, who's going to come and when it's going to happen. What are they saying is going to happen politically around the world, let alone the Middle East, which is the powder keg of it all, but the other areas and how everybody is affected at the same time. What I'm saying is this. Because God is gracious and merciful, and he knows that not everybody's going to church to hear what God's holy prophets have to say about get into the ark and get saved and know the Lord and see what's coming, but God graciously is even filtering his message out through the secular prophets to this generation, telling them something's up, get ready, be prepared. And that's what God did with Noah. Now, here's what, with all those warnings and 120 years, they laughed at Noah. Because they'd never seen a flood before, and they certainly had never seen an ark before. By the way, the ark that he built, do you know how big it was? How big was it? I'll tell you how big it was. It was a football field and a half long. And then God bringing and drawing the animals. I love this. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood was shed to redeem everything that Adam lost, and that's not only people, but his blood was shed to redeem the whole planet Earth. The plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, everything. And even in the story of Noah, you have God's love and compassion for nature and for the animals themselves. That isn't it ironic? People weren't listening to him, but the animals said, yeah, we better get in the ark. And there they came. And the Lord left the door open.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so glad to hear from listeners who often listen alongside a friend or family member. It enlarges the ministry value of these daily studies.
I am truly blessed with your current study. The Lord is using it to help me. My son is 34 years old and struggles with mental illness. Your teaching is so inspirational and practical, and this makes it easy for him to follow. Love in Christ.
It's a blessing to be able to deliver Pastor Ray's daily studies in God's Word. And it's so encouraging to hear that listeners are enjoying them and they're making a difference in their lives. How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Noah started off, he's kind of a young guy, you know, and there he is, and he's building and preparing. I can imagine little kids being taken by their mommies and daddies. They're 5 years old. Mommy, what is that crazy man doing over there? Oh, he's building this boat. He's talking about this big water going to fall from the sky. Ha, ha, ha. And so the little kid's mocking, you know, five-year-old. Then he gets older, and he's in elementary school, and he walks by, and he's still laughing and joking and teasing. Then he goes through adolescence. He's a junior higher, and he starts throwing things at him. And then he goes through high school, and he's laughing through high school. Then he goes to college, and now he's intellectually telling him what an idiot he is for doing that because he knows so much. He's been to college. And then he grows up, and then he gets married, and now he has children, and his kids now are five. And he goes, hey, I got to show you guys this. Come on with me. And he takes all his little five-year-old kids, and he shows them the boat that he's building. And then those kids grow up, and then they have kids. And now he brings his grandkids, and they're watching. There it is. Look at that big, monstrous, empty nothing in the middle of land. For 120 years, Noah preached. And when people would stop, and they would laugh, and they would mock, and they would say things to him or whatever, he would stop. And they would say, why are you doing this? And he would tell them what he was doing. And I think that Noah, you know, we have a very, we don't know exactly what he said, but I'm going to read something to you. This is fiction, something that somebody wrote long ago by imagining what Noah might have said in his day as he preached. Something like this. Faithless men, maddened by passion, do not forget the great things our God has done. For the immortal, all-provident Savior knows all things. He has commanded me to be a messenger to you, lest you be destroyed by your madness. Sober yourselves. Cease from your evil practices and from your murderous violence against each other as you soak the earth with human blood. Reverence my fellow mortals, the supreme and unassailable Creator in heaven, the imperishable God who dwells on high. Call upon him, all of you, for he is good to be merciful to you all. For this whole vast world of men will be destroyed with water, and you will then utter cries of terror. Suddenly, the elements will turn against you, and the wrath of Almighty God will come upon you from heaven. Therefore, come, while the door is still open." I don't know what exactly Noah said, but he might have said something similar. Certainly, in his own way, he preached the message. That was the gospel of the Old Testament. There was an ark. And ironically, what was it called that was in the Holy of Holies? It was called the Ark of the Covenant. What is an ark? The ark is the place where God's presence is, and where God's presence is, there is rest, there is protection, there is the divine glory, and there is salvation. And so here was Noah building a place where God would reside with his children who would listen to him and trust him and love him and safety and peace and protection and rest. So, if we truly believe what God has said about the future, that he is coming in judgment, because the Bible says that he will come again in the future in judgment, what are we doing to bring salvation to our family? May I say this? When you hear what God is saying and see what God is about to do in your generation, you begin to build a ministry, and the first purpose of that ministry is the saving of your house. That you want your family in heaven with you for all time and eternity. Amen? I want my kids there. My son, my daughter, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, and all five of my grandchildren, that is my first burning, passionate goal, is that they know the Lord. John said, "I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth." So whatever God may have his hand upon you and calling upon you, the first impact would therefore be within your own family. Now, verse 7, again, he says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." He had a testimony in the world, the generation in which he lived. Peter tells us Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Getting right with God meant obey what God had said, get into the ark. For 12 decades, he preached that message. The heir of righteousness that comes by faith. You know, you and I have a borrowed righteousness, or somebody else has described it as it's an alien righteousness. And I like that word alien because it means it's not ours. And if I could say this one thing, please listen carefully. I do not want you on the day when we all stand before God, and what reason is given that you should receive entrance into heaven, do not make the horrible mistake of trying to get into heaven because of all the good works that you have done. Amen? Because you do not get into heaven by your good works. And the reason this irritates me, this probably is one of the top three things that bothers me as a pastor and a shepherd. It's like, to me, fingernails on the chalkboard. When I hear people say, "Well, how are you going to get to heaven?" "Well, you get to heaven, by just being good and doing good and trying to be good and do good and stuff like that, You do not want to go stand before God and say, "Give to me what I deserve." Not good. Now, I also want to say this. Aren't Christians supposed to do good? Yes. In fact, it says that Jesus and the disciples went about doing good. Good works is good. God wants us to do good. He wants us to do good works. But you don't do good works to get saved. You do good works showing that you already are saved. It's because we're saved that we can do good. And we're not saved by our own goodness. The righteousness that we have is Jesus Christ. It's given to us. He gives it total, whole, and complete. And it's amazing, and it's pure, and it's holy, and it's awesome. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read this out loud. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Underline the phrase, righteousness of God. It's not the righteousness of me. It's the righteousness of God. Philippians 3:9, let's read that. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21, let's read that. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He gives you his righteousness, and then he transforms you and changes you, strengthens you, empowers you, encourages you, fills you with himself, so that as a father and a son, father and daughter, his nature is now in you. But to him be all the praise and all the glory and all the credit. Amen? So, finally, Noah was saved by his faith in God's word and in God's character, and he believed God could be trusted, loved, and worshiped. And the day came when it finally began to rain. And it continued to rain for 40 days without stopping. And finally, Noah's generation began to think perhaps Noah was not so crazy after all. And the water rose first above their ankles, and then above their knees, finally to their waist, and to their shoulders, and then finally to their lips fell silent. No more mocking, no more unbelieving. For the very boat and the life of Noah had testified against them. And just as God came to that generation through Noah, he comes to us today through the words of his son. Let's close by reading Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let us determine to hear God, believe God, see what's coming, prepare our own ark, build it, our house, our ministry, for the saving of our families, so that when we get to heaven, everybody that we love is with us. Amen.
Sobering words about the reality of God's offer of salvation. Pastor Ray Bentley with our study in Hebrews chapter 11 here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Faith Sees What Is Coming. It's available for a gift of any amount. And again, that title, Faith Sees What Is Coming. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, I've heard Americans are notorious for overestimating how much they can accomplish in a short amount of time and underestimating how much they can do over the long haul. You have a book on the benefits of certain spiritual disciplines over the long haul. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's a very personal book. It's a simple book, but it really comes out of my own walk with the Lord, what I've learned in following Jesus, walking with Jesus. And from the scriptures, I realize that Jesus laid down in the Gospels certain patterns, certain habits, if you will, of discipleship. They're really disciplines, and there are not many of them. There's just a few of them. But when we begin incorporating these disciplines that Jesus passed on to his disciples, that's why they turned the world upside down, literally within their generation. I want to begin with turning your world upside down, turning your life inside out and right side up with the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit overflowing your life. And then that will begin to affect, you know, your friends, your environment, your community, your family, everything that surrounds you. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, The Habits of a Disciple, Learning to Walk with God.
All right. Well, we hope you'll get your own personal copy of The Habits of a Disciple. We're sending it right now to say thank you for your gift of any amount to help us keep bringing Pastor Ray's teaching to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.